The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, inspirational author and speaker Christine Kane encourages you to move past your past.
My daddy says that I am a daughter of the King. I am created with God-given destiny. I am filled with God-given purpose. I can be whoever God says I can be. I can do whatever God says I can do. I am who God says I am. My daddy says. In Jesus' name.
Unlock your future by discovering the value you have in God's eyes. Next.
James.
Well, Christine Kane is teaching Moving Past Your Past, Turning Trials into Triumphs. This is a series that she's done that I really pray you'll get, because all of us have a past. Many times we have pain in the past, and the sad thing is a lot of times we get stuck in something in the past, and we become prisoners to it. Christine understands that. All the things that she went through, pretty incredible. And you know she is from Australia. She literally helped light a fire there, and of course with Hillsong, which has been a blessing around the world. She then felt like God led her over here. I think, Betty, we really do need a lot of help.
Yes.
And there are a lot of folks in Australia praying for us. We pray for you too. And we appreciate your prayers. We appreciate Christine. Listen to her talk about something very, very important. Would you welcome Christine Kane? Here she is.
Tells us in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14. I love the Message translation. Peterson puts this beautifully. He says, "The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood." And I love that, because God wants to move into the neighborhood of our wounded souls. He says, "I want to come in," but what we want God to do, we don't want Him to move into the neighborhood. We want Him to visit. Or better still, we want to visit Him. And so we visit Him on a Wednesday night, or we visit Him on a Sunday, or we visit Him when we tune into this broadcast and we think, awesome, I'm visiting. Well, you know what it's like when you have a visitor. You go in and you make sure all the kids' bedroom is tidy. You take all the dirty underwear, put it in the cupboards, lock the cupboards. You go into the bathroom, you get rid of the sandpaper, and you put really nice soft toilet paper because the visitors are coming. You get rid of all the cheap cookies, you get the really good cookies, you put them in there, but if the kids touch them, they're dead, because that's for the visitors. Everything is set up for the visitors. It's all awesome. And what does the visitor do? They come at the appointed time. They sit. Everyone's on their best behavior. You have threatened the children with no Christmas presents for 45 years if they even fight when you are there, if they look at each other the wrong way. And, you know, if you're a mother watching this, well, you know, we have this sixth sense that we could be talking to the visitor, eyeball to eyeball. We'll never lose line of sight. But you've got a sense that your kids are about to fight, and you can give them the evil eye without ever taking the eye off your visitor, and they know they are so busted. They are so busted. And so what happens is that, you know, the visitor stays for the appointed time. We are on our best behaviour. But the minute that front door closes and that visitor is out of there, I mean, World War 63 breaks out in our house. And, you know, your evil twin sister comes out, and you don't know where she came from, but she's the Antichrist sister-in-law, and off it happens. And you are just, like, going for it. And then we are the same with God. Like, we're coming to church on a Sunday. I mean, we have nearly committed murder in the car. You know, we have nearly killed, we've cussed out our husband, we've nearly killed the kids. But as soon as we pull into the church parking lot, it happens the world over, whether you're watching this in Australia, in Europe, here in America, the world over. As soon as we get into a church parking lot, the spirit of hypocrisy comes upon us all. It is unbelievable. And we have gone from saying the worst things in the world to just all of a sudden, our holier-than-thou persona comes on. So we get to the front door after we've just nearly killed everybody. And, you know, the greeter is there with the church bulletin, and they're like, "How are you?" And you're like, "I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm sanctified and justified by the blood of the Lamb. And here is my cherubim and my seraphim that I almost killed." Yes, yes, they are. And they're going into the kids' church. And we're just going in with my beautiful husband to worship. And we raise our hands in worship. Hypocritically, I worship you, Almighty God. I'm going to kill him when we go home. If he thinks I'm ever going to cook for him again or he's going to get anything else, no, 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 that's not going to happen. Oh, it is amazing what we can do between how great and thou art. It's amazing. Amazing. What we have worked out in our minds. And then pastors preaching the sermon. I mean, we barely get into the car, the door shut. We hit, did you hear what Pastor Robert said? That was for you. Every word of that was for you. And then we normally might be able to stay saved Sunday night. Maybe Monday. But by the time Tuesday's kicked in, we are back to everything. And we are just back to and we wonder why our kids who see us holier than thou at the prayer meeting, and then we can't even say two normal words at home. And you know what? We resent ourselves because we want to be different. I sincerely believe that most Christians actually don't want to do that, but we don't know what's going on. And what we don't realize is it's not a spirit issue. We try to pray more, we try to give more, we try to serve more, we try to do more, we try to read more, we try to fast more. And God says it's not an issue of that. It's a soul issue. Your soul is wounded. And in my own case, it came where there was this sense that, Christine, are you going to let me go into those deep innermost recesses of your soul where you have double deadlocked, padlocked me out of there? Because, Christine, you made vows as a little girl, I will never trust like that again. I will never love like that. No one will ever do that again. And with every one of those vows, I was locking God out of the very places that he needed to come into that darkness and bring life and hope and healing and restoration. John writes in 3 John 2, Beloved, I pray you prosper and are in good health even as your soul prospers. A prosperous soul is so vital. And if that muscle is not worked all the time, you will default into this yo-yo Christian behavior. 3 days good, 2 weeks bad, 2 months good, 6 weeks bad, and you will not have a stable Christian life. But as you allow God to get into those emotions, to get into the core of that area and to strengthen it, you don't have to be ruled by your feelings. You don't have to be ruled by your emotions. You can move past your past because a lot of those emotions in your soul realm are connected to things that happened to your past. That's what happens. And your husband may say something and it triggers something. But it is not fair that I make my husband pay for something he never did to me that someone else did 40 years ago. And so at some point, you've got to make a decision that my children, my husband, my relationships, my peers at work, if you're in your single life, that I'm not going to default back into negative patterns of destructive behavior because of something that happened in my past. I'm going to allow God into those deep places so that I can move past my past. I can turn that trial into a triumph and I can fulfill the God-given destiny that he's given me to fulfill. I'm not going to keep going back. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. We've got to exercise that muscle. With all your soul, we've got to exercise that muscle. And then, of course, I love with all your mind. Your heart muscle and your soul muscle reveal your potential, but it's your mind muscle that activates your destiny. Many people don't step into their God-given destiny and don't move past their past because they will not do the hard work of renewing their mind. Our thoughts are like a train. They take us somewhere. The scripture tells us in Proverbs that as a man thinks where? In his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are the net sum total and the product of the thoughts that you think. Who you are today, who I am today, is a direct result of the thoughts that I think. As a man thinks inside, not intellectually. It is amazing how we think reason and intellect is going to take the place of how we think in our heart. And that's why God looks at our heart, because he knows what's going on the inside. He says, I'm not interested in what you say with your mouth, on how you intellectually stimulate yourself. You might know all the theology in the world. You might know every book of the Bible, all 66 of them, from Genesis to Revelation. You might know the Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. You might be post and mid-trib all together. And you might be able to, you know, you might have all the gifts of the Spirit and all the fruits of the Spirit, but as you think in your heart, that's really who you are. That's really who you are. Because our thoughts are like a train. And I would say out of every muscle that I have to work the hardest on, it's this muscle. And I've been born again for 25 years. And there would not be no other muscle than this one that I have to work on. I'm not talking about every day. I'm saying every hour of every day. That I have to arrest my thoughts and bring every thought into captivity to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, where I do not have to proactively work on not conforming myself to this world, but being transformed, not by the removal of my mind, but by the renewal of my mind. Some people think that being a Christian requires you to have a lobotomy and remove your mind, but God says, no, that's not the deal. I want to renew your mind so that you can prove, Christine, what is the good, the perfect, the acceptable. Let's start with acceptable, or good, acceptable and perfect will of God. You can have the perfect will of God, but you've got to renew your mind to do that. And that takes a lot of work. A lot of work to study the Word, a lot of work to memorize Scripture, a lot of work to say, I'm not going to default back to patterns of negative thinking, but I am going to renew my mind with this Word. And it's a daily process. I don't know how people don't do it every day. This is the thing that keeps me alive. It's the truth of the Word of God. I had so many wrong thought patterns. I thought so many wrong thoughts. I would jump on the wrong train of thoughts every day, and I still can do that if I'm not careful. That's why I have to get the Word of God into me first thing in the morning. You know, when I was at Sydney University, I lived in a city called Seven Hills, and I would catch a train from Seven Hills to Sydney University to Redfern Station in Sydney. And it would be a 45-minute train trip every day. It left every day, platform 4, 7:30. And, you know, I would do it like clockwork. Well, this one day, I didn't check the destination board. And it was, I pulled in, you know, I ran up the stairs at the train station. It was 7:30. And there was platform 4, a train had pulled in, I didn't have a chance to check the board, so I bolted down the stairs. Just as the train doors were closing, I jumped in the middle of the train doors, got on, I thought, awesome, I'm on. Now, where I am supposed to go is 45 minutes in that direction. Well, I knew I was in trouble when the train immediately began to move in that direction and then didn't stop for 1 hour. I had caught an express train to Katoomba, to the Blue Mountains in Sydney. So instead of going 45 minutes that way, I'm now an hour express that way. I will never forget this. I remember the train doors opening. I got off the train and I looked at the station master and I said to him, how did I get here? And he just looked at me and he said, well, love, you got on the wrong train, didn't you? And you know, that's exactly what we're like. I think at the end of many days we get there, we go, God, how did I get here? And he goes, honey, you just got on the wrong train of thought. I promise you, before you wake up in the morning, the devil will make sure that the wrong trains of thoughts are coming into the destination of and the platform of your mind. But just because it comes into the platform doesn't mean you have to jump on that train of thought. You need to check the destination board. I want to show you. Often, this is what happens spiritually. You know, look at these destinations, and this is where what happens. The departure train will pull into your mind. And it'll land. And you go, why do I always end up angry? Why do I always end up depressed? Why do I always end up jealous or comparing myself or full of unforgiveness or full of bitterness or full of offense or full of greed or full of lust? It's because you jumped on that train of thought. You didn't even think about, most people don't even think about what they're thinking about. They just think, I'm going to jump on this train because it came. But you can choose, do I want to end up there today? Do I want to end up in that argument today? Do I really want to end up depressed again today? Do I want to go down that train of thought where I'm jealous of my friend today or I'm bitter or offended? Because you can change if you just get on a different train. You don't have to go there just because the enemy pulls it in, and he will make sure. And those of us that have been hurt and abused and violated and broken and betrayed, oh, you will instantly just think to jump on that train of thought because you always have. And so you have to fight proactively to say, just because it's in the platform of my mind, you acknowledge that it's there, but I'm not getting on you. I know where you're going to end up because you've taken me there for the last 20 years straight, and I'm just not going to get on there today. And then you could choose your arrival. Go and look at the board in the morning and say, look, where do I want to end up? I'm going to wait until a train of thought that's going to take me to love or to joy or to peace or to forbearance or to kindness or to goodness or to faithfulness or gentleness or self-control. That's the train I'm going to get on. And I might have to stand here for a while till I can find that train of thought, but I'm going to find it. And you know what? And maybe you think, oh, no, Chris, I jumped on that other wrong train. It's okay. Jump off. You won't die. This is one train you're allowed to jump off on. It's fine. You're not going to die. But you and I, 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us we have the mind of Christ. I tell myself that every morning I wake up, I go, Christine, you have the mind of Christ. Today you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You have the mind of Christ. You can make right choices and you will make right choices. You will build your choices based on the Word of God, not how you feel. You will build your choices based on what's good for your future, not what happened to you in your past. Christine, you will do that. I talk to my mind. I stretch and strengthen that muscle. I remember my daughter when she went to school and, you know, Catherine, my 11-year-old, just especially all her initial years, she travelled with me all the time, all the time. So these were the only settings she was ever in. Women's conferences and the church and everyone around her would tell her how awesome she was and she'd be in life-giving environments and just full of life and full of purpose and full of potential. And her father, you know, always since the day those kids have been born, you know, Daddy loves you. You are Daddy's princess. You are beautiful. You are intelligent. I mean, everything I never had, my daughters are getting that and more, and as it should be. And, you know, you are beautiful. You are intelligent. You are awesome. Well, you know, then Catherine went to school. And I don't know if it's the same here in the American school system, but, you know, school environment is normally quite different to a church environment. It's not as life-giving, and people don't tell you all day you're beautiful and you're gorgeous and you're awesome. And so she goes, and she's in kindergarten, and the teacher told me this. She was having a little fight with this little boy over a teddy bear. And he was so angry with her because she got a teddy bear. And so he ripped the teddy bear out of her hands. And this is what he said to her. I don't even know how my daughter knew what this meant because she would never have heard this anywhere that I would be aware of. So he grabs it from her and he says, Catherine Bobby, you are dumb and ugly. And the teacher said, Christine, you should have seen her. She just put her shoulders back. And I honestly thought the teacher was going to tell me that my daughter King hit him. And I was going to go, you go, girl. But then I was. Us Australians, we're crocodile hunters. So I'm like, you go. But this is what she said to me. She said, Christine, she just looked at him in the eyeball and she said, no, I'm not. My daddy says that I am intelligent and I am beautiful. And I sat there and I thought, my kid at 5 years old has got a revelation of what her father says. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what anyone else has said in your past, whether they say you are useless, you are hopeless, you are ugly, you'll never amount to anything, you're a loser. When you know what your father says, you can counteract the thoughts that the enemy will bring and you can say, no, you are a liar. I am not that. My daddy says that I am a daughter of the King. I am created with God-given destiny. I am filled with God-given purpose. I can be whoever God says I can be. I can do whatever God says I can do. I am who God says I am. My daddy says.
Boy, if you get that, I mean, really, the father of all lies, one thing about it, he's not lazy. He's consistent. He never gives up. He never stops lying because that's his vile nature. And God wants you to know who you are as a new creation in Christ. Overcomers, your children, your heirs, priests, kings, more than conquerors. And what Christine is saying is so true. Father, I pray everybody will hear you. And as Christine said, silence the liar. Tell him to shut up in Jesus' name. I went through a gate one week where Betty and I were at a retreat. And every time we drove the car out the gate, there were about three dogs that were just going, you know, you always wonder, dogs chase cars. What would they do if they caught one? What would they do with it? Well, these dogs were driving me crazy. I honestly found myself, because they were crazy dogs. And we love dogs. But these were crazy dogs. And I wanted to kind of go fast and then slam on the brakes, throw the door open, and they run into the door. I thought, well, that wouldn't be right. So what I did is I just slowed down, and I looked out the window, and I said, stop it! Stop it! And they went, and it was like the Lord said to me, if you resist the devil like that, he'd flee like that. I mean, if you really resist him, stop it. And I really think that Christine's saying we can stop the liar. I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to shift a gear right now. And I want you to listen to the still, small voice. I want you to listen to that inner sense. You know, I honestly think there's something inside you that if you didn't even really recognize just how big God is, He put something inside of you that has the capacity to be sensitive in the right way. And if you are discerning because you have the Spirit of God in you, you're really going to be moved by what you see and what you hear. And as you're moved, I pray you respond in harmony with the heart of God.
Africa is a stunning continent filled with many beautiful sights and sounds. But sadly, sights and sounds like this occur all too often. Like thousands of others, these children find themselves in a desperate situation. They are severely malnourished. Others are on the brink of starvation. Most are struggling to stay alive. Soon, their sounds of anguish become weaker and weaker, and then stop altogether. This is the sad sound that no mother wants to hear. It is the sound of her child's grave being dug. Her child died simply because she did not have enough food to give them. But this is the sound of hope. A vitamin-enriched soup mix being poured into little orange bowls. This sound brings a promise of life each day. Mission Feeding saves lives.
I want you to just kind of think about those three little ones with those three bowls like this and picking up that soup mix, that porridge. And did you notice the little child that was lying there in the bed and the skin ulcers on that little emaciated body? I don't know what you see. I see somebody's precious baby. You know, we actually had some people say it'd just be better for them just to die. Then they wouldn't have to live in all that sadness over there. If you knew those people and knew how precious those little children are to them, because they don't have any other form of entertainment. They don't have what we call the simple pleasures of life. That is their pleasure. Those are the most precious mothers. And Betty, I'm telling you, we know what it feels like to lose a child. I was already spending a great part of my life trying to help people save their children. I want to save all the little babies that are in the wombs that like to have a chance to cry, have a future, because I almost didn't. I was almost aborted in my mother's womb. But a doctor with convictions wouldn't do it. So I obviously want to save all lives. Betty, these little children, many of them in South Sudan, that's a nation born because of a miracle of God. Recent, it's a very youngest nation. And people are plundering them just to disrupt their life, kind of the way things happened here.
Well, from the moment they're born, James, so many of them, they've known nothing but devastation and hunger. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to demonstrate Jesus' love in offering them hope and life through giving them food that they need? It's a simple solution. We can be a part of that. You and I can. All of us can that are watching. Be a part of giving hope and life to these precious children. What greater vision can you see than the last little baby we saw there with the bowl, and he puts the food up to his mouth and he gets a little grin on his face? It's better than any gift or toy you could give him. It's life.
And I think it puts a smile on the face and the heart of God. I really do. So would you go and get your bank card and use it like a check? That's how you should use them. But go get it and say, I'm going to give life today. You can go to lifetoday.org and you can give online. You write a check, make it to life. But here's what I want you to know. $30, $50, or $100, we're able to feed 3, 5, or 10 children for several months. Some friends, very caring friends, have put up a $550,000 matching gift to say, we will match what you give today. In other words, if you gave $100 to feed 10 children, it would suddenly feed 20. It would be doubled. You give $1,000, and some of you can, I believe you will, to help feed 100 children, it'll then double to 200. To feed 3 children with 30 becomes 6. $50 becomes 10 rather than 5. Would you please go to the phone or go online and make the gift God put on your heart, and let's give those children a bowl. If you want to say, well, I want to give them the bowl with the food, tack a dollar on for each child you feed, and we'll be able to give them a bowl. That's what they cost. They're heat resistant. Our viewers thought that up. We'll send you the beautiful teaching material and the books by Christine Kane to be a blessing to you. The commemorative bronze, Brotherly Love, Help an Older Brother Feed a Younger Brother, and Have Something to Feed. Help the missionaries. Please go right now. Make the life-giving call. If you need prayer, we're always here to pray with and for you because we care about your broken heart. But this is a chance also for us to mend broken lives and heal those little children. Give them a future.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. But our food reserves are gone, and we desperately need your support to replenish our supplies at more than 800 feeding centers immediately. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's friends have set a $550,000 end-of-year matching challenge for mission feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed three children will be double to impact six children. $50 to help feed five children will be double to help save 10 children. And $100 for 10 children will be double to help feed and minister to 20 children. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Christine Kane's powerful new teaching series, Moving Past Your Past, on audio CD, along with her book, Can I Have and Do It All, Please? With your double impact gift of $100 to help save the lives of 20 children, you may request both the audio and video series. And as a bonus, we'll send you Christine's latest book release, Undaunted. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 to help save the lives of 200 children. And you may request our 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Brotherly Love. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I'm praying that many of you will get the Brotherly Love bronze. Make the gift to help us feed 100 children and know that it will immediately become 200. We only have a short time left now for us to secure the funds. And what's happening in South Sudan, a nation really founded in so many ways because of faith in God, and being devastated by people who just hate. But we're going to show them love. Let's do all we can. Know whatever you do will be doubled. Thank you so much for your help. Thank all of you for being with us.
Stirs your affections for Jesus Christ and fill your life with them.
Pastor Matt Chandler and his wife Lauren, tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.